most entrepreneurs are going to always default to service because it's predictable. You get a hit of dopamine whenever you satisfy that customer, and it's easy. Sales is unpredictable. You're going to get told no, and it's hard.
CEOs often feel stuck in the grind of scaling their business and feel like they're missing out on the best parts of life, like family, friends, or travel. On this podcast, CEOs come to take themselves and their companies to the next level. Let's dive into the Millionaire Mind with your host, Dallin Schultz.
Hey, welcome back to another Millionaire Mind episode where I have some of the most successful business owners sharing what motivates them to get out of bed every morning and how they elevate themselves and their companies to the next level. And I've got another great guest joining us today, a serial entrepreneur with experience in starting a real estate sales company, a mortgage company, a title company, and at one point even running a small chain of seven schools focused on early childhood development. And he now focuses primarily on helping other entrepreneurs succeed in business as well as in life. And is also the host of the Mentee podcast. So without further ado, a special welcome to our guest today, Wyatt Graves. Wyatt, thanks so much for being on our show.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. I'm glad to be here.
So Wyatt came as a mutual introduction through one of our friends, and we had a chance to connect prior to this for a few minutes, and just incredible human being, incredible mindset. And I think we're going to get into that a lot during our interview today. So if this is your first time tuning in with us, thank you. Appreciate you listening into our show. And what I like to do is just kind of set the tone for the show. If this is your first time, what I like to do is invite the guests and ask them to share a little bit about who they are today, where they're at, what they've accomplished, and then we take it back. Because what the purpose of this show is to really get into the mindset of the journey. And we talk about the good, we talk about the bad, we talk about the ugly, we get into that stuff that I think is often overlooked. And as people that are either newer to the business development space or looking to scale, often fall into this mindset trap of it just comes easy and naturally to everyone. And that's truly not the case. And I'm sure you can agree with that, Wyatt. That's what we like getting into. We like getting into the challenges so that we can all learn and grow from each other. And that's really the purpose of the show. So Wyatt, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and where you're at today, and then we'll take it back.
For sure. You know, the two things that are really defining my career right now is all things mindset and transformational coaching. Like that's a big bucket of my life right now. And secondly, it's real estate investing. Now I have all the other ancillary businesses behind those two front. You could say the two things that are on the front burners of the stove. But for a majority of my day, my time right now, it's all things mindset, transformational coaching, and real estate investing. We buy ugly houses franchise in my market and added that to the book of business, you know, behind the real estate brokerage and the mortgage and the title and all those things. But it is fun and it is going extremely fast. And so is the group coaching and the mentorship program that we have. So where I'm at today, that's it in a professional manner, right? But I also am a husband and I've got three kids. They're all involved in all the extracurricular activities, you know, that keep us on the road and all those things. So that's where I'm at today, man.
Awesome. Appreciate you sharing that. And we'll definitely want to get into how you manage all this with the family and the multiple businesses, because it's not unique. A lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners are trying to juggle. So you mentioned earlier in your introduction that you're in the mindset coaching. I think a lot of people are familiar with that, but then you followed it up with transformational. Would you mind taking a minute and just expand on that a little bit and what you mean?
Well, you know, a long time ago, I was introduced to these two words. It's either transactional leadership or transformational leadership. And transactional leadership is just going through the motions, right? It's checking off a box. It's what can you do for me and I'll do for you. And it's very surface level. But at the transformational level, it's all about relationships. And when we talk about mindset coaching and transformational coaching, you can't have a relationship with anybody else that you don't first have with yourself. And so when we start talking about scaling a business, growing a business, leading other people, you can't do any of that if you're not leading yourself first. And so a lot of times we have to have transformations inside of our own heads before we can go out and transform anybody else, particularly a segment of the market. So group coaching, mindset, and, you know, to be transformational in my way of thinking and leading, I have to work on my mindset. So that's kind of where that comes from.
I love it, dude. Thank you for sharing that. So let's take it back now. Maybe it's 4 years, maybe it's 10 years, right? Like everybody has a story that got them to where they are today. So let's take the next few minutes or so and share with us, share with the listeners Wyatt's story. What got you to where you were today? How did it all begin?
Yeah. You know, I have to at least recognize my grandmother and her sister. Both are deceased now, but they were homeless for many years of their life. And they were entrepreneurs at the same time. In fact, their living arrangements back then, I think, forced them to become entrepreneurs. And they set up our family to work hard and to have a vision and just dream, really. And so coming up in as a child, things didn't go as planned. They hadn't made it by any sense of the word, yet they worked hard and set us up for this mindset, right? Well, my family lived paycheck to paycheck. And it just so happened that most of the arguments that ever happened in my household were around money. And so I developed a vision and a dream based on my grandma and her sister, which was kind of like a second grandmother to me, being an entrepreneur. And neither of my parents were entrepreneurs, by the way, even though, you know, my grandmother and I called her my nanny was. So I, from a very early age, looked towards entrepreneurship as the way that we would solve the money problem. And of course, you know, I'm 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And my way of thinking back then is that if I could solve the money problem, I could solve the self-worth problem. I could solve the emotional problem and the deficits that's in my family and prevent my family, my wife, my future kids from ever having that problem. So I have wanted to be an entrepreneur my whole life, never deviated from that, always said that I would be a business owner from the earliest memory that I can even recall. And my first venture as an entrepreneur was a real estate agent, starting my own real estate sales business. And so I got licensed at 19 years of age and found a childcare center for sale while I was a realtor. And just sort of rewind just 5 years earlier, my mom became an entrepreneur. She took what my grandmother had worked hard for in terms of land, money and savings and started a childcare center. And it changed our life. It changed our financial situation. And so it gave me a glimpse into an option, an opportunity that I might want to try. So as a real estate salesperson, I found a childcare center for sale. I bought the daycare when I was 20 and full-time college student and basically started working my butt off. And, you know, lots of different things and ventures came my way. I ended up scaling that childcare business to 7 schools, still selling real estate, finally bought a house, did all those things. And obviously, there's a lot of lessons learned in between all of those decisions and ventures. And we can talk about those if you want to. But, you know, real estate sales was the common thread. And it always provided me with the network that provided me solutions to problems I was facing, friends, acquaintances, my own ventures, my own real estate deals. So after all these years, right, real estate has been tried and true, this space, this career that has always been a constant for me. So that's sort of how it all, in a very abbreviated nutshell, has came to be.
Sure. No, I appreciate you sharing that. And you mentioned in there, you slipped it in very subtly. I don't know if other people caught it. You mentioned the C word, college. You mentioned that while you started your sales, you were in real estate sales, and then you picked up your first school, your first daycare run while in college. So I got to ask it. One, did you finish college or did you?
I finished.
You finished?
Awesome. I didn't want to go to college. I just didn't. Except, you know, here's something that's interesting. I knew from an early age that if I wanted to be somebody someday, that I would have to be a leader. I would have to lead other people. And one of those things back then in my head that came with that was public speaking and speaking in front of a group of people. And I was so uncomfortable doing that. And I didn't know this term at the time. I've since learned it, but I created a forcing function to become a better public speaker. And I started running for offices in high school. So I became the class president and the parliamentarian of the Future Business Leaders of America Club and all these things, simply to put myself in uncomfortable positions so that I could start getting better at the thing that I thought then was necessary for me to be a good leader. And it's obviously proven to be very helpful. And with all those clubs and the grades and my business acumen from, you know, just being a little self-starter way back in the day, I ended up with a scholarship. And I hated to waste the scholarship because I didn't have enough faith in myself or the awareness that I'm going to make it. And so I decided that I would go to college because I didn't want to waste the scholarship and as an oh shit plan. And it just so happened that I could sell real estate while I was in college. I could buy the childcare center while I was in college. But I did transfer to two other colleges after starting my first university and still finished with a Bachelor of Arts degree in business management with a concentration in entrepreneurship in 3.5 years. Like, I just took class after class after class to get it over with. I hated it. I can't say it was a waste of my time, but maybe it was. I don't know, but I finished.
Here's the deal. If you're listening to our show, I feel like in entrepreneurship, you're going to hear people that dropped out of school, never went to school, people that went to school and don't even use their degree anymore, that this show is not meant to poo-poo on anybody's path, right? But I like asking these questions. One, you had a lot going on. College in itself can be a full-time job, while you also ran a full-time job as a sales agent and acquired a daycare. So what I'm more interested in, and for the purpose of our conversation here, how did you manage all that?
Yeah. Man, you just learn how to bob and weave and just go with the flow. You know, that's part of why I transferred colleges. So I had moved out of town for the first year because I wanted a break, because I wanted to just kind of sow my seeds for a little while and just get out of town, experience another city. So I did that and realized quickly that I wasn't going to start a business and build a business out of town. So I moved home so that I could start my own business in college. Well, that brought me to LSU. You don't go to LSU and dictate your schedule there. LSU dictates your schedule. And so I learned that, and that's why I had to transfer to Southeastern so that I could stack my classes. And that's one of the things I did, was I would go to class only on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I would go from 7 a.m. until 9 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I would take 18 to 21 hours a semester. I took summer school, but I stacked my classes. And I would also tell you that one of the biggest ways that I was able to succeed is that I had leverage before I knew what leverage was, right? So when I bought that childcare center after that second year of college, I had an assistant director there and I had an assistant, right? And so I needed help. And so I hired it. And, you know, back then I didn't have mentor. I didn't have coaches. I didn't have people teaching me. I was just trying to figure it out. And here's the ugly part of it. Maybe I didn't manage it well. Maybe I didn't balance at all. I mean, there were times when I wouldn't go weeks or months without seeing my friends because I had to say no, right? They would do things that normal college people do, and I would not be there. I didn't get married until I was like 25. I didn't date a whole lot because I didn't have time. You know, and whatever.
You were dating your business.
I was in love with my business.
I was.
You know, I wouldn't trade any of that for the world right now because it made me who I am today. And it's not the lifestyle that I want my kids to have, you know, and it's not a lifestyle that I want to have now, but it worked for me at the time. So here we are.
So not only are you driven and motivated, that's obvious from our conversation, but it sounds like, especially with your daycare acquisition, you had people in place to help out in that. So for those that are in this position of knowing that they need help, they need to delegate, other entrepreneurs and business owners knowing that they need help, they need to delegate, maybe they don't have the resources or the revenue coming in to effectively bring someone on. What can you share with anyone that's looking to more effectively and efficiently delegate so that they can leverage other people's strengths and abilities?
Well, that's a good question because it brings us right back to what we already talked about. And it starts with transformational coaching, right? At the core of transformational coaching, you get clear on your purpose. And when you find clarity of your purpose, then you can begin to prioritize. So a lot of times, you know, and this is the whole world of every environment is optimized for some kind of reaction. And right now, if you're an entrepreneur, you're self-employed, I know that your email is going off every other second. I know that your phone is ringing, the text messages are coming in, and it's all with people that want you to solve their problem. They want you to put out their fire. And if you are not clear on what's the most important activities that you have to do today to win the day, then you're going to be on the hamster wheel and you're going to spin your wheels forever, right? So, but it all comes back to clarity of purpose so that you can effectively prioritize. And when you effectively prioritize, then you can be productive. So maybe it is leverage, but maybe it's saying no, right? This year, right now, I'm so dialed in to the very few things that I need to do that my anxiety is a little elevated because I'm realizing just how many times I have to say no now. I'm not used to saying no this much because I like to work, and working a lot and doing all the things has never been a problem, right? But I'm so focused on the few things I need to do at work and everything that I want to do outside of work that there is no choice but to say no, or else I'm not going to get what I want. So leverage, priority, say no to distractions. It's all in that, you know, all those things are in the same bucket, I think.
You know, and I think that, appreciate you bringing that up. I think this is such a common trap that entrepreneurs fall into, because we're entrepreneurs because we want to solve problems, right? We want to make an impact and we want to help other people. And what's typically required is for us to commit and say yes. So by nature, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs lean towards the side of people pleasing. And it's not, we just want to make an impact at the end of the day. And so we fall into this trap of overcommitting and saying yes, when in reality, we should be saying no more than we say yes. And I think that often comes because of that lack of clarity that you were talking about.
Let me add this. It's from the lack of clarity, but it's also a result of your mindset, right? Like a lot of entrepreneurs, we all, if you're human, you have what we call monkey mindset, mind chatter, the drunk monkey sitting on your shoulder, right? And all of those, whatever you decide to reference, is speaking into your left ear every day, right? If you don't respond to that text message, if you don't respond to that call, if you don't respond to that email, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, all your customers are going to leave you. If you don't do this, then your customer service is going to go out the door. And then you spend your time spinning wheels, putting out fires, and you didn't make one sale, right? So you got to get clear on your mindset so that you can face reality and say no and surge forward.
I love that. And one of the things I talk a lot about to people in entrepreneurship space is, it's a quote by James Clear, from the author of Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
He says, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. So mindset is a huge piece to it, right? That's about setting the vision, setting the goals, getting the clarity. But how would you say systems play a role into all of this?
Well, I want to say two things, because I'll answer your question and say that James Clear also said that habits that stick are habits that start with identity. Most people set intentions around a result, but they don't ever identify as the person that does the activities, that builds a bunker, that builds the environment that's supportive of the behaviors that lead to the habits that get the results we want, right? So on the Mentee and in the Mentorship Mastermind, we talk about how important it is, the people that you surround yourself with and the physical environment that you operate within. If people don't, F.M. Alexander said, people don't decide their futures, they decide their habits, and their habits decide their futures, which is the same thing James Clear saying in Atomic Habits. So in the most basic component parts, if I'm supposed to make 10 calls a day for leads and sales, then my physical environment has to have the database, the people to call, the list, the phone, right? The bunker that keeps me from the distractions. I can't have my email open, right? Or up. That's what I meant to say. I can't have my cell phone on to receive calls. I have to create the environment that supports the behavior that I need to become a habit, right? So to your question about systems, I think that it's sales. I think that, you know, it's sort of a three-part formula, if you will. It's leads. Where are my leads coming from? Where are the sales? Because if you don't have sales, it doesn't matter how good your systems are, right? You're not going to survive. So where are my leads coming from? Who are my customers and my sales? And then it's leverage, which is systems and or people. A lot of people, right? And it goes back to transformational coaching. Most entrepreneurs have two buckets of work that they can focus on any given day. One is service and one is sales. Most entrepreneurs are going to always default to service. Why? Because it's predictable. You get a hit of dopamine whenever you satisfy that customer, and it's easy. Sales is unpredictable. You're going to get told no, and it's outside of our comfort zone. You can't predict it, and it's hard. Well, if you don't have the sales, you're never going to have the service, right? And so how do you create the environment to support sales? Who are the people that you need to be around so that you can grow into the sales conversations so that you can go for the no, make the offer, and have the sale? So I think whenever you break it down into those two buckets, yes, systems are so important. So is clarity of purpose. So is your identity, right? So that you can have the sales and eventually you can figure out what system you need, right? Whether it's the system that supports the sales or the system that supports the service, I do think that you can't scale without systems, right? You're going to hit a ceiling of achievement. And the only way that you're going to be able to break through that ceiling of achievement is to implement systems and processes.
But you got to have that clarity. You got to have that identity before you can effectively implement those.
Oh, for sure. Or you'll be jerked around like, you know, Raggedy Ann. I mean, with emotions, right? You'll have good days, bad days. You'll be on the mountaintop one day and the valley the next. And then all of a sudden you're unpredictable. And again, going back to either atomic habits or tiny habits, it's all about a base hit, stacking your wins. We say in our world a lot, most entrepreneurs are losing so slowly, they feel like they're winning. But the reality for those who succeed, they're actually winning so slowly, they feel like they're losing. And it's because it's habits. It's stacking the wins, stacking the base hits, right? And all is a big word. Most entrepreneurs want a grand slam, right? They want to walk up to the plate, swing for the fences, hit a grand slam. And that's what we think is normal, but it ain't normal. So you got to be prepared to go for the base hits. And I think that that is where systems come from.
I'm so glad you brought up that metaphor, that analogy with the base hits and the grand slam, and you beat me to it. I was going to say most entrepreneurs want to get up to that plate. They want to hit that grand slam. They want the audience cheering. They want those posts on social media saying, hey, look what I was able to accomplish. And I think that's another trap so many people fall into, especially with social media. A lot of these plays that you would consider a grand slam with entrepreneurs, how many base hits did they have leading up to that play?
A lot.
That weren't discussed, that weren't publicized, that weren't recognized, right? So then when people in the surrounding see that grand slam hit, it gives this false sense of, hey, all I got to do is go up and swing and eventually I'll hit that grand slam. But it takes time. You've got to learn to connect with the ball. You've got to learn how to strategize. And those base hits lead you to become better to then eventually hit that grand slam. And that's why I'm doing the show. That's why I love doing the show and interviewing people like you, Wyatt, because it's never a grand slam. People don't just walk up and hit a grand slam. There's a lot of strikeouts that happen. There's a lot of base hits that happen. Yeah, somebody might get a double or triple once in a while, and that keeps them coming back for more. But it's the consistency. And it's having that vision and clarity on what it is that you truly want to accomplish that leads people to keep getting up to the plate, knowing that they're probably going to strike out or get a small hit.
Yeah. Right? You know, growth in business is like hockey stick, right? Susan Scott, I think, said it. It happens slowly and then suddenly. And when I coach people in the self-employment world, entrepreneurship world, they always ask me, well, how long does it take to go from the front of the hockey stick to that hockey stick curve, right? How long is that going to take? And the answer is, however many times you're willing to get hit and get up and do it again, right? Some people operate from fear. A lot of people do. And it holds them back. And so the iterations of their at-bats are slow and far and few in between. But some people say, I don't give a damn. I'm going to get up to the plate and I'm going to swing for the base hit today. And I'm going to do it again tomorrow and again tomorrow and again tomorrow. There are no off days. And those people that take more at-bats shorten that slow period because only two things can happen. If they don't get what they want, they can learn, pivot, try again a different way, or they get what they want, which is a success, which boosts their confidence, which allows them to then take a bigger swing more often, right? And they either, one of two things, fail bigger, which means it's a bigger lesson, which means they can pivot, try again, or they win bigger. And when they win bigger, it just starts snowballing, right? And so you got to get up. And I'll say this, it all has to do with how often are you willing to get outside of your comfort zone? If you don't flex your comfort zone muscle, do you know what happens? It doesn't stay the same size. It shrinks. And so whenever you flex your muscle and you get outside of your comfort zone and you have a win, your confidence grows. If you have a failure, you learn. If you don't get back up to the plate and try again to keep flexing your comfort zone muscle, every time you start, it's the same degree of pain. That's one of the number one reasons they don't succeed. They succumb to their fear and they quit trying.
So what would you say to those people that are in the pursuit of a goal, pursuit of business, and questioning themselves? Is this the best use of my time? Is now the time to pivot? Do I keep pushing? What would you say to that entrepreneur that's having a hard time knowing if they should just keep pushing forward or if it's an appropriate time to pivot?
Well, I probably would ask them, what are the results? You know, if you were successful, how would you know? That's what I would start with. If you were successful, how would you know? And that would drive us into a series of questions, right? They might say, well, I'd sell 100 widgets. Okay, by when? And then we would go through that process and maybe reverse engineer to see what they're doing on a daily basis to focus their time. We could probably go in 1,000 different directions if the concept was a valuable concept, if it was, you know, there was a market for it and all those things. But assuming all that was in order, is the person, you know, a lot of people say they have to have certain things so they can do certain things, so they can be a certain somebody. The reality is that it works backwards. You have to be that person today. Do what that person would do, and then you'll have what they have. So are you being who you need to be in your business model, doing what that person does so that you can have the results that they have? Oftentimes, they're not.
And where does that begin, Wyatt?
Well, it begins between your two ears. It begins in your head, right? And clarity of purpose. Why am I doing this? And when it's all said and done, what am I after? What's my goal here? What is my vision of success look like? You know, one of the hardest things about coaching people around living the good life is what I say is being successful is simple. It's just getting what you want. And that's what I love to do. I help people get what they want. The problem with my role in helping people get what they want is most people don't know what they want. They don't know, right? How many times or how much time does the average person spend thinking, journaling, meditating, contemplating, writing out who they want to be? What does success look like? And if I know people today, especially today with our super connected society, many people are not spending enough time thinking to find clarity around what success looks like.
They're looking externally.
Yeah, for sure. Or they're not even really looking. If I asked you, this is one of the questions I asked last week at a seminar where I was the keynote speaker for a session. If I ran into you in a year from now, it's February 6, 2024, I haven't seen you in a year, and you tell me that your life is absolutely amazing, what is happening for you to give me that answer? Some people might give me one or two bullet points, right? Because that's the easy thing to do. And then I say, I love it. Tell me about your relationships. Tell me about your spouse. What y'all's relationship look like? When's the last time you went on a date, right? Tell me about your physical health. What's your blood pressure? What's your body fat, right? Can you still bend over and touch your toes and tie your shoes, right? How about passive income in your retirement? Do you have passive income for you to tell me that your life is great? How much passive income? Do you have debt? When I start, right, and I just start asking these clarifying questions, to which they realize, holy crap, I don't know. And that's it. The homework is then, let me help you find clarity on what success looks like. For you to tell me that your life is amazing, let's get clear on what has to be happening for that to happen. And then we can reverse engineer and make the plan.
Here's some of my thoughts on that, Wyatt, and I'd love to get yours as well. Life is hard. Business is hard. And I actually came from a medical background. People are always looking for a quick fix, a quick repair, right? For example, you take someone that has high cholesterol and they're at risk cardiac disease. There are lifestyle changes that can be implemented to improve that. But rather than putting in the work and effort, they say, hey, just give me that pill.
Yeah.
Give me that prescription. So now, transitioning into this entrepreneurship and growing a business, it takes work to gain that clarity on what it is that you truly want and what you're looking for. It takes that meditation. It takes that self-reflection, right? It takes being honest with yourself and putting aside your pride and ego and being real. Where are your relationships? How is your relationship with your spouse? Where is your passive income at? That stuff takes time. And it's hard because we have to open ourselves up to critics and even our own self-doubt. My thought on this is that because it takes time, because it takes effort, it's so much easier to look at the person next to you that's succeeding and say, oh, I'll just do that. Or that's what I want. What they have is what a successful life looks like to me, when in reality, it's not. You're just being influenced by the people around you. So what can somebody do to have a change of mindset, to do that work for themselves, to reflect, to journal, to really determine what their mission is and what success looks like to them?
Bronnie Ware was a hospice nurse, and she worked with patients who were already given their death sentence, right? That's what a hospice nurse does. And she started asking them, her patients, a series of questions, and she did this for a period of 5 years. Every patient, hey, do you have any regrets? Hey, your life is over. I'm sure she was a lot more eloquent with the way that she asked the question, but there are no do-overs. You're done. Now let's talk. Do you have any regrets? If so, what are they? And she started documenting them. Do you know what the number one regret was of the people who were near death, had been given their death sentence? She compiled all of the answers that she asked for a series of 5 years. Do you know what the number one regret of the people who were near death was?
Feeling like they didn't do enough or try enough.
They wished they had the courage to live the life they wanted instead of the life they thought others expected them to live. Wow, right? And so when we talk about transformational coaching, what we talk about is that all goals are contextual. So if people want to pop the pill for high cholesterol, the question is, what's all the people around you's cholesterol look like? It's probably not good either, because you're all eating the same thing. When you look externally to set your goals, the reason that Jim Rohn said, and it's true, that you are like the five people you spend the most time with, it's true. So when you look at your cholesterol, you look at your relationships, you look at your finances, look at the five people you spend the most time with. You're going to be the average of those people. And so we'll go back to college, right? I learned two things in college. Bachelor's degree, two things I learned. One, I still say it to this day. People don't know what they want. They only want what they know. So nobody wanted a cell phone until you knew that cell phones existed, and then you wanted one, right? Nobody wanted a Peloton until we knew that Pelotons existed, and then everybody wanted a Peloton. Your goals are no different. They're no different. And most people don't spend time imagining their future because they remain tethered to their past. It's easier to remember your past than it is to imagine your future. And so the average person that we are in circles with is average to their people too. And so we all as a group, as a society, remain average when in reality we have infinite potential. If we would just open our eyes to exposure of new conversations, of new people, of new content, of new things, instead of, look, this, I am an intense person, so I'm slowing down to give disclosure. I don't watch TV. I watch sports. I'll watch the Super Bowl with my boy because he's a football player and a basketball player. So we go to sporting events. We'll watch sporting events on TV. But most people want to be entertained. And so they'll binge watch all the shows on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever the streaming services of your choice are, right? And then wonder, why I'm unhealthy? Why my cholesterol is too high? Why don't I have passive income? Why do I have more month than I have paycheck, right? We look around and then we look at what we spent our time doing. And it is nothing that goes back to what James Clear says, habits that stick are habits that start with identity. We just react. We just react. That's what, and we're reacting to an ever increasing stimulating environment. Our environments are so active with stimulations that I think Marshall Goldsmith said, if we don't create our environment, then our environment's going to create us. Man, as a business person, as a marketer, we're trying to create everybody's environment, right? I want you to think you need what I sell. I want you to want to buy what I have to offer. And I'm just one among millions. So unless you get clear on what the heck your life needs to look like, you're going to just be tossed to and fro like a leaf being blown in the wind, and you'll end up on your deathbed. Another statistic of Bronnie Ware. Damn, I wish I would have lived a different life, and it's going to be too late.
And it takes effort. It takes time. We're being conditioned as a society to get things instantaneously. You brought up television, right? How easy is it to go onto Netflix and binge watch 10, 15, 20 episodes? Kids these days don't know what it was like to have to sit down and rewind a VHS.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, no doubt. I mean, we grew up having to do that. And kids these days, a couple clicks of a button, they can get access to any shows they want whenever they want. And it's this instant gratification mentality in our society now that I think we need to stand up against. I mean, there's a time and place for it, right? There's technology can be a very powerful tool and resource if used effectively, but we have to be aware of how it's conditioning us as well.
It's addictive regardless of your awareness. That's what I don't think a lot of people realize. It's why I purposely don't watch Netflix, because as soon as you watch the end of the first show, the next show starts. I cannot control the way that my brain responds to that, right? It is physiologically releasing chemicals in my brain, just like drugs do.
They know that.
Yes, that's why they do it. That's what I'm saying. That they know that. All the kids' cartoons, if you look how many different frames there are per second, they're changing the frame, and it's more and more frames per second with the colors because they know that you're getting the dopamine hits and you're going to keep watching. So I just don't watch it because I know if I do, I'm going to be the binge watcher. And I got too many other priorities than to give Hollywood, you know, my time to be entertained. I want to entertain myself whenever I'm on my boat, my plane, whatever it is that I'm working for, on the beach with my family, in relationships, engaging with people, helping people. whatever. Like, I'm just clear that that's what's important to me. And then I have built an environment that supports those behaviors. So I could talk forever about this, man.
You'll have to shut me down. No, I love it, Wyatt. And the passion's obviously coming through. And if you're listening to this episode, I know you're feeling it as well. Wyatt is very passionate about what it is that he does and comes from experience in multiple areas of business and is now helping others do the same thing. So let's pivot real quick. We got a few minutes left, but talk to us a little bit about this. You're the host of the Mentee podcast. Talk to us a little bit about that and what that is.
I met Jeff Woods in 2017 at a goal setting retreat in person. That's when I met him. But prior to that, I met him through his online mastermind community. At the time, it was called the Inner Circle. And he introduced me to Jim Rohn for the first time ever. And his favorite quote was, "You become like the five people you spend the most time with." We've already spoken about it on this show, and decided to go to a goal setting retreat because I wanted to know how billionaires set goals. If they have a way of setting goals, well, then I need to go figure that out so that I can set my own goals just like a billionaire would. And I upgraded my ticket to a VIP ticket because Jeff Wood said, "You become like the five people you spend the most time with." What other people would I want to be around other than those who prioritized their VIP status around setting goals? It was there that I met Deborah Cornelius and Adam Edison, who were inside of Jeff's world, and introduced me to Jeff's private mastermind called The Inner Circle. And it was in Austin. I went there in 2018. At the time, Jeff was transitioning out of the Mentee, which was his podcast. He started the Mentee podcast because he had became the vice president of The One Thing with Gary Keller at Keller Williams' big real estate franchise. So I met Jeff, learned about the podcast, learned about Jim Rohn. I went to his private mastermind and my world changed. This was 2018. I had been going at it alone my whole life as an entrepreneur. And all of a sudden, I met people who were mentors, who had already been here, done that. And they already know the model. They had connections. They had the great questions to ask me to drive clarity in what I wanted to achieve. And I met other people that connected me to other people that connected me to other people. And that's how I ended up in GoBundance. I ended up in GoBundance as a result of the people that Jeff had come and talked to us at the mastermind in Austin. And man, GoBundance has changed my world because it's 10x people that all get together. And when you get two 10x people together, you get 100x results. And so from clarity and connections and resources and relationships, and it's just all the things are just magnificent. And I know that I'm a teacher at heart, right? I love to help people. And that's what I would say is I know the potential of people and I am passionate about helping them fulfill it. That's why I love the Mentee. And so all of those things were happening. Jeff was the vice president of The One Thing, so he couldn't have two things. The host of the podcast decided to go in a different direction. And so Jeff put it on a shelf and it started burning inside of me that I need to be the next host of the Mentee. And the whole premise is based on you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So go out, find mentors, have conversations with them, offer them value, and in return, you'll become like they are. And so what that means is when I find clarity around what success looks like to me, then just go find other people that are already doing it. And by default, I'll get what I'm looking for. And that's the premise of the show. I'm the mentee as the host, and all of my guests are mentors. So I'm constantly seeking out people that are smarter than me in any of the areas that are important and having conversations with them. I record those conversations, publish them as episodes. And so our listeners can borrow my mentors in the absence of their own. And they can upgrade their life, their business, their health, their wealth, and all the things that are important to them simply from listening to the show.
Absolutely love it. And this all because you decided to upgrade your ticket to a VIP ticket. Out of curiosity, Wyatt, if you can recall, what was that initial investment, upgrading your original ticket to a VIP ticket?
I'm going to tell you two answers. One, to the VIP, I think it was about $500.
Okay.
That put me in the room with the people that I needed to be in the room with.
So 500 for the ticket, $500
for the upgrade. It was okay. The upgrade. $500 for the upgrade. Backstory: 2016, our city flooded. 100,000 houses flooded. 2012, I went broke. By the way, the recession hit. 2008, 2009, I labored the storm, weathered the storm, I should say. This, that, and the other. Kicked the can down the curb as much as I could. 2012, I went broke. Started rebuilding. That got me to 2016. 2016, we were going to have a record year in real estate sales, new construction, all the things. And it rained for 21 days straight and the water had nowhere to go. And so our city that had never flooded in like 1,000 years flooded. I had 3 feet of water in my house. I had childcare centers that were flooded, and every single house that I had listed, every single new construction neighborhood, except for one, had 2, 3, and 4 feet of water in it. All the subcontractors flooded. It was a catastrophe. It was a natural disaster. It was awful. Fast forward 2017, I find out about the goal setting retreat. I'm exhausted. I'm spinning the wheel, right? Burning the candle at both ends of the stick. Now I'm having to rebuild my empire for the second time. And I learn about the VIP ticket. I go, and then I meet Adam and Deborah and Jeff, and they invite me to Jeff's mastermind. Jeff's mastermind ticket is where I had to put them on the table, if you know what I mean. That ticket was $5,000, and I didn't have $5,000.
Which nowadays I'd say is cheap for a mastermind.
Oh, what? I didn't have $5,000 because my house, all those things had flooded. I was just in a bad spot financially. And something told me that I needed to go. I talked to my wife. I said, look, I got to go. This is going to be my birthday present, my anniversary present, my Father's Day present, my Christmas present. This is everything in one whole year. And I got a credit card and swiped it, put the charge on my credit card, and went to the mastermind. And it was there that I met John Vroman and Justin Donald, who both are inside of GoBundance. I then had a relationship with Justin relative to a real estate deal that he was the buyer on, or could have been the buyer on. I represented the developer. He said, you know what? I'm not interested, but my buddy might be. Let me connect you to David. Well, that was David Osborne. David Osborne is worth, I don't know, $200 million, an avid real estate investor, one of the co-founders of GoBundance. I get on the phone with David, nicest guy, such a great mentor, just genuine, authentic, just awesome guy. And he invites me to Austin to the summer event for GoBundance. I'm rolling now, right? Not with money, but with upgrades in my people. So how can I say no to this? I've got to figure out how to go. So later that summer, I'm rebuilding my career. I'm starting my own real estate brokerage from scratch now, doing all the things. And I meet with them. And by the grace of God, they look at my track record and they look at what I used to have before the flood, right? I had rebuilt from 2012 into the flood. The flood really, it took all of my wealth away. Financially, I should say, not my mindset wealth, not my family, not the relationships. And they gave me a pass to GoBundance and I got to join. And since then, I have rebuilt my wealth, rebuilt my finances, rebuilt my business. And it has grown, I would say, at a 10x trajectory as a result of that. So $500 ticket to the VIP mastermind or VIP goal setting retreat and a $5,000 ticket to the mastermind with Jeff. And here I am.
Absolutely love it. You know, one of the best investments you can make is in yourself. And I always encourage people to start there. Get around people doing what you want to be doing and take that chance in yourself. And one thing you mentioned that resonated with me, Wyatt, is that you felt like you needed to make that investment. Something inside of you was telling you, this is what I need to do. Listen, if you're new in business, if you're already in business and looking to scale, pay attention to that intuition. Pay attention to that gut feeling because you never know what's on the other side of it, right? So awesome. Absolutely incredible. Why, man, this time flew by way too quick. And I feel like we could definitely keep going. But in closing, I want to wrap up with these four questions that we like to ask all of our guests. And listen, guys, if you've appreciated and really enjoyed Wyatt's comments, go follow him. Go download his podcast, The Mentee Podcast with Wyatt Graves, and he'll probably share a little bit more about that. But you got 45 minutes of Wyatt. during this show. You can get a lot more of this, and not only of him, but the people that he's connecting to, which I love that model of your podcast. You're like, hey, these are conversations I want, but you're welcome to tune in and listen along with me. So
that's
absolutely
right.
Love that model. So awesome. Well, Wyatt, what is one absolute book recommendation for those looking to scale and further develop their millionaire mind?
You know, I got to go with a book that I listen to at least twice a year, and it's Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. We talk about the monkey mindset, the drunk monkey, and just how you manifest your own future and make it come to be. And T. Harv does a phenomenal job. It's on Audible. You can buy the book, but it's all about mindset. And as we've already said on the show, it starts between your two ears, right? So Secrets of the Millionaire Mind is a phenomenal read.
And I can second that. It's a phenomenal book. So yep. If you haven't read it, if you haven't downloaded it, go out and get it. Excellent. So Wyatt, what has been one of your favorite quotes that you've embodied and lived by?
Man, by this point, everybody on the show should know what it is. It's Jim Rohn. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. It is 100% true. Ask yourself how much money you make, then look at the five people around you. I bet it's the average. Look at your physical health, all the things, right? You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Use that quote to your advantage.
All right. Awesome. Well said. And listen, if you're not in a position to invest the $5,000, $10,000 into a mastermind, go find a local meetup. Go find something that, if you're into real estate, if you're into business, if you're in entrepreneurship, go find a local meetup. At minimum, you can get around people that are on the same path and think the same way as you. Start there. Biggest thing is to start. Excellent. So why, if there was one thing that you could share with fellow business owners that are beginning or simply trying to get to that next level, what would it be?
It is for sure, seek clarity around what success looks like for you. What does that mean? If you need help finding clarity, if you need help figuring out what success looks like, then the second part of the advice is to find other people who are already clear on what success looks like for them and go get into a relationship with them, right? So figure out what success looks like for you. Find other people that are already doing it and get into a relationship with them, because then the Jim Rohn quote will come into full effect and you'll get what you want. But if you don't know what you want, then what you want is clarity. Go find other people who are clear on what they want, get into a relationship with them, and you'll find clarity yourself. It really is that simple.
How do you know if you're on the right track if you don't know where you're going?
That's right.
It's got to start with that clarity. So
that's right.
Awesome. Wyatt, how can listeners learn more about you and your business?
Yep. So you can go anywhere that you listen to your podcast. We're the Mentee Podcast with Wyatt Graves. And then you can go to my website, thementee.com. There you can follow me. You can listen to the podcast. You can get the links to our mentorship mastermind community. It's totally free on Facebook. I'm inside that community. I'm involved. I'm coaching people at a high level. And then you'll also find different ways to attend our mastermind events. We've got one coming up in April that's going to be on Lake Buchanan, right outside of Austin, Texas. And then I've got some other opportunities if you want to, you know, get involved with our group mastermind.
Awesome. Go ahead, check him out, look into it. Look, this has been a great conversation with Wyatt. And if this is your first time listening, I'm so glad you tuned in. People have been asking me what my company does. So since I have you here listening to the show, I'm going to share with you now. So my company partners with busy professionals that are looking to experience significant tax savings, have more to invest, and even reinvest their hard-earned capital. And we work with other multimillion dollar businesses like yours by offering them opportunities to invest alongside us in large apartment deals. So if you've been wanting to get involved in apartment investing, but you've been too busy to figure out where or how to start, then you can find out how I can serve you by visiting investwithrev.com and schedule a 15-minute discovery call. We make apartment investing easy. So if that's something you've been interested in getting involved in, go to investwithrev.com. Schedule that 15-minute call just to see if the alignment is there. Wyatt, thanks so much for coming on the show. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you and I can connect more and maybe even work together again in the near future.
Let's do it, man.
Awesome. And to our listeners, remember, you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic. So go out there, earn your win for today, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in.
Hope you got value from this episode of The Millionaire Mind, a journey into the mindset of successful business owners. If you want to get results, you've got to take the right steps to get there. Dallin hosts a free weekly educational webinar focused on teaching you how to start investing in apartments so you too can experience the benefits of real estate ownership without doing any of the heavy lifting. There you can gain insights, connect with others like you, and ask Dallin all your burning questions about how you can start owning apartments today. Go to themillionairemind.us. That link is in the show notes.